Hi, I'm Andrea and I do DNS. So because it's quite late, so I have a quiz for you. How many of you know what DNS is? How many of you run DNS server? Okay. How many of you wrote DNS server? How many of you wrote more than one DNS server? How many of you would not ever do that again? All right, we can start then. So a little bit of history by nine. It started actually, well, in last millennia. So it is a spiritual successor of Bind 4 and Bind 8. And when people say, oh, there were so many security issues with Bind, they usually speak about Bind 4 and Bind 8. And because Bind 9 was written from scratch, it's a different story. Sure, we have security issues, but a different kind of them, because there's something called design by contract, which basically makes the server crash if there's anything unusual, which is much better than, you know, revealing a memory or, you know, overwriting a memory, stuff like this. It was originally single-threaded and multi-threaded. You can choose that as a compile option by 9. And because of that, it used its own event-based cooperative scheduling. It uses locking for, you know, the multi-threaded. It has own RW lock that allows downgrades and upgrades of the lock, which the standard POSIX RW lock doesn't allow. So 1998, how old is that? So for the same money, roughly, you can get like four CPU threads, 500 megahertz clock, and, you know, 4 gigabytes, and it was really, really cool machine. Nowadays it's like, you know, you can have a really, really beefy machine for the same amount of money. So the technology is from 98. Cool phone, right? So more recent changes we did in Bind 9. So in Bind 9, 14, those are already end of life. We started requiring the atomics. Here it was not only standard atomics, but it was also Bind would be able to build with the GCC like atomics that's built in. Also, if you look at the source code, I wrote a shim on top of the Windows interlock API to emulate standard atomics on top of the Windows API. It was a horrible, like, if you ever wanted to see a horrible C macros, that's the place. So I'm kind of ashamed and proud at the same time. Bind 9.16 already also end of life. There's a new networking layer, but only for the DNS server part. So, you know, the machine is half steam, half rocket. And by 9.18, which will be end of life like next year. So it all uses the new networking layer for even the client part and the server part, but some of the parts are still the steam machine. It also, like, we ripped out the home cook allocator, which was really good at the time it was written, but nowadays we would, like, as a DNS developers, we should focus on DNS and not writing allocators. So we are relying on GA malloc for handling the memory fragmentation and stuff, and it's really good. You can compile it even without it, because there's like shim just to work with the standard libc allocator, but the GA malloc is really, really much better option for using with Bind. So now to the more complicated part. So what makes parallel programming hard is actually the name of the book by McKinney. And this is a really good book on understanding the architecture of the modern computers. It's open source. So term of throttling, memory barriers, atomic operations, pipeline flushes, cache misses, IO completion, memory references, it all makes the CPU run slower, because it needs to throw away the cache, and it, you know, the cache is really close to the CPU, but when it's not, then it's much, you know, the operations are much, become much slower and slower and slower. So every time you need to stop, the CPU needs to stop, like, synchronizing memory between each other. And every time it needs to, like, fetch a memory, that's really, or forward a cache, everything makes the program slower, even though it's not visible on a, like, in the C or even higher languages. So that's for people not programming close to the hardware, this is really, like, complicated stuff. Like, convince me that it is not the case, but usually people, like, writing in Java or, you know, the frameworks like Flutter, they don't really understand none of it, because they just, like, this is all hidden by the frameworks. And I think it's a big shame that the like many software engineers don't understand the hardware they are writing the programs with on, because it costs us, it costs money, electricity, you know, performance, everything. Yeah, memory reclamation is also like a huge part. We can talk about many days about memory reclamation techniques. So binary synchronization, you know, still POSIX locks, therefore the mutex. There's a new RW lock. It's not one-to-one implementation, because that requires a lot of memory for the new like machines. So it's a little bit simplified, but it gives an improvement in the performance. I'll show you a slide. And it uses standard atomics. So that's what's required right now. So of course, people using Red Hat 7 or CentOS 7, that's already been end of life, are now complaining. So the effect of the custom RW lock. So this is the main branch, and this is the, you know, I created a branch just to switch to the default preferred RW lock. So this is, so I should explain this graph. This is logarithmic, this is reverse logarithmic graph, actually invented by the Power DNS people here. So this basically means that if you look at this line, this is response time in milliseconds, and this is slowest percentile. So this basically means that something like 95% of queries were answered under 1 millisecond. So this looks huge, but it's actually the smallest part of all of it. So so you want basically this is to be as small as possible, but as you can see, this is like slowest percentile is like fifth slowest percentile goes like here, and something like 1.5% of the queries are not answered ever, which could be for various reasons. So this is just the effect of the RW lock. This is the cold cache, this is the hot cache, the second picture. So not much of an effect for the hot cache, but for the slow cache, it's quite significant. So another, like, complicated, who knows what the read copy update is? Okay, not bad. So there's a really cool series from the authors, and there's a talk tomorrow in the kernel dev room from the, one of the authors. So basically, if you look at the RW lock, it stops everything when you are, you know, so readers can work together, but if there's a writer, it stops all the threads, and so even the readers need to wait, and the writer will do the work, and then they will continue. So it basically stops everything. So for the RCU, the mechanism is that the readers can, you know, continue while this changes, and so you start a change basically here, the picture is removal. So you start a change, and then you wait until the last reader that started before you started the change has finished, and then you can free the memory. So this is a memory reclamation mechanism. And again, you can see it. This is from the LWN article that it takes a, like, it's much faster that way, because it doesn't doesn't make the other thread stop. So this is one of the mechanisms that we are using. We are right now we are using just the RCU API. This is read copy updates, and they provide data structures or hash tables that are already like lock free or wait free. By nine.
I'm the maintainer. Hi.
Hi. thank you. By 9:20, it uses USB RCU. We replace the logs and RWX in a couple of places, like the logging subsystem configuration. So if you change something in logging, before there was a locking, now it just like swipes the pointer. And when the grace period is over, it just throws away the old configuration, and there's no locking whatsoever. It's not a big change, but it's like we are learning it also. It's not so easy to switch the like the mindset how to do this, do the things in a new way. Also, we had like weak references, so the strong reference is that. Just close the door, please. Either come in or out. So the strong reference is that you know it's there. So if you dereference the pointer, you know that you have a value or not. For the weak one, it could be null, or there could be an object. So we, use RCU for the weak references now. And there are some smaller places where we use the lock-free, wait-free data structures, like something like callbacks table that's used for catalog zones and RPZ. It needs, when you basically load a new version of this catalog zone, it needs to call back something and do something. So we use in the small places at the DNS dispatch, you use the lock-free hash table, and the bad cache. So this is the place where we store that the server is unreachable for the name and stuff like this. So for the